all over the building. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Can we just do that one more time? Give God a hand clap of praise. You are an amazing God. Some of those songs that we hear, some of the things that are said in those songs, if thought about, will have you in a position of where you're basically just ready to lose it, amen? And we bless God because He is an amazing God. Amen. Kim, when we're done with the sermon, that's when I'm going to need you to go on and tag everybody. Tag everybody in. So. We bless God for today. We bless God for everyone that has come out to fellowship with Unity Worship Center. Children's Church is open. Children's Church is open. We bless God for our children. Amen. Amen. Let's bless God for the children. We will be suspending the sermon series. Middle school church is open. High school church is open. Amen. We will be suspending for the moment the sermon series, Deliverance from Conditioning, for a few reasons. But today, with the Lord placed on my heart to preach a sermon that coincides with the meeting or the announcement that we'll be having afterwards. Amen? So, those of you who follow me closely in life and on social media, I am sure has and is in the process of watching a shift take place within your pastor as well as your church. My wife said the other day, she says, it's starting to look like liberty less and less, and it's starting to look like what God has placed on your heart. And the operation of this shift, it's not been playing. This morning, while getting ready for service, I realized that I have never given a definition for the word shift. Which is odd because the word shift was a word that I used a whole lot back in the day. At the old church, those who were there would remember after we had reached a level of praise and worship, I would say there is a shifting in the atmosphere. It didn't push people to lose it. It didn't prime anyone. It was just a simple statement loosed into the earth realm to let people know what I am sure they already knew, which was God was in the building. And because He was in the building, nothing could be the same. Nothing could stay the same. Now, when I speak about when praise and worship had reached a certain point, I'm not talking about the music and singing, because at this particular time, music was not a priority. And to be honest with you, music should never be a priority. This is something that we have in the 21st century, or the not so much the 21st century, but the Western civilized church. This is what we have made a thing, and we do that, I'm going to say this and a lot of people won't like it, but it's the truth. We do that simply because in many of our hearts, not all of our hearts, but in many of our hearts, God is not enough. There has to be some entertainment when it comes to church. So this is why you see people paying full salaries that people can live on, take care of their families on, just for a keyboard player. And I don't say just to minimize the keyboard player's importance, but we have made music a must, and we've got to be really, really good, because oftentimes most people's decision on whether they're going to join a church or not is predicated upon how well is the praise team, how good do they sing. So let you know off the dribble that when you begin to be concerned about the music, you have lost focus of the main thing, which was the Lord. Is the word being preached in that church? Not to say that it shifts, importance shifts upon the pastor, but it should shift upon the pastor's word. Amen. Because that is what this is all about, the word of God. Amen. So we have loosely and badly made the wrong things important. And it's the pastor's fault, because we fell victim to this ideology of everything has to be on point, or they won't check us out. They won't stay with us. When all the pastor was ever supposed to do was make sure that the word was going forth. That's all. That the word of God was going forth and that people were receiving. Really, to be honest, it isn't even the pastor's job to make sure you're receiving it. That's on you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And one of the things that bothers me about being here for 6 years is that when I look around and I watch people and I watch their actions, I watch how they come and go, I watch how churches, sometimes it's important and sometimes it's not. And what that lets me know is that we have a lot of people in the church that ain't saved. Because when you're saved, God is important. And when you're not saved, he's not. Amen? And that's a problem for me, because as a pastor, and as any pastor would feel that has a heart for God's people, you begin to ask yourself questions like, is this my fault? Is this on me? You know, are they not where they should be because of me, because of bad mistakes or decisions that I've made? But the reality is, what I eat don't make you use the bathroom. So if you're not faithful to God's word, and if you're not faithful to God's church, that really has nothing to do with me. That is a heart situation between you and the Lord. Amen. You know, back in the day, you know, let me say this, we, you know, the church had like 10 members, nobody, you know, and nobody know you. Let me put it like this. I remember there to be in times we had a tone deaf singer and a keyboard player nobody would give $10 a week to, and we got more people were saved in that ministry because our heart was set on God and not on materialism. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so what some of us need to understand, and what I've come to realize, is that some of us pastors who are called to pastor have what I call a demonic secret service detail along with us from, and it was along with us far before we were ever called to preach. See, because though the call hadn't come yet, evidently and physically, it hadn't manifested itself to the churches, it was already set in heaven. Amen. And so it is a detail that has smoothly gained some influence in the person who's called to pastors, who's called to a pastor's life. People of God, be careful those demonic secret service details, because their objectives is to stop you from being all you're supposed to be in God and to stop you from doing all that you're supposed to do for God. And that stoppage can be in many ways, but most often the main tool that they use is your own weaknesses against you. And those weaknesses are usually sin related. And so once they get you, they get you to bite on temptation, and you realize that you have messed up, you begin to go through the shame and the fear, because you're ashamed of what you've become, and then you're afraid of who gonna find out and what they gonna do to you once they find out. Anybody ever been there? You ever just lost your way, and then you become ashamed of it, and then you got people in your life that, you know, you sit back on and you figured out that they know, so how long will it be before everybody know? And that just ain't no way to live, amen? That's just no way to live. And I'm sad to announce that we don't have many people get this. Let me say this. And the demonic influence knows for a fact that it's going to hold you up for a while. Satan knows that the demonic influence is going to hold you up for a while, especially if you don't have a real covering that you can trust to handle your fall in the right way. You got to have a covering that's going to handle. See, here's the thing. Here's the problem. We fall in church and we don't talk to the pastor about the fall because, to be honest with you, it's no big thing because we've been falling for years. And the church had and the church and the pastors in being cute and caught up with more things than what they should be and not being focused on the right things. That you see, because the reality is some of you get phone calls and texts from me just saying, "You all right?" And the reason that you get those calls and texts is because you're not. And because we are divinely connected. I pastor you because we are divinely connected. Oft times, not all times, but oft times, the Lord shows me there's something wrong. A lot of that doesn't happen in a lot of churches because we have forfeited popularity. We have forfeited power and presence in the presence of God for popularity. Amen. So what you see is churches with 600,000-700,000 members and not 200 saved because they got good music, because the preacher will shout, spit, and stomp, and he has smoothly learned how to, and this is what is new with the church, they pastors have smoothly learned how to talk about sin without offending anybody. I want you to be mad at me every Sunday in your spirit. In your flesh. I want your flesh. I want every last one of y'all's flesh to hate my guts every Sunday because I am saying something to you that is not allowing your flesh to just chill and operate the way that it wants to. Amen. And so we have to get back to this place of confessing, you know, or, you know, and here's, I'm going to tell you something. And I understand why some of you don't confess your sins to me and anybody else, because, you know, you can confess your sins to the wrong person and your confessions be serious. Let me tell you something. If you have been in the presence of God and if you love God and then sin got you, that is a serious thing that took hold of you. It ain't nothing to play with. It ain't nothing that everybody should know about. It ain't nothing that we're going to kiki about. If it was strong enough to tempt you and to lead you astray from what you know was good, that's a serious situation that is operating within you. Amen. But you have to get back to the point of where you trust your pastor. You know your pastor, so you trust your pastor, and you know that your issues aren't going to be conversation pieces at Applebee's Sunday afternoon. But you have to know that your pastor is going to war with you and pray with you and fast with you and whatever he needs to do with you to make sure that you get delivered from what it is that has you handcuffed to a place of mediocrity, to a place of spiritual mediocrity or spiritual failure. Am I talking in here today? I want to know that I'm making some sense. None of this is on script. So this is the Holy Spirit in full effect. And stop, because of the pastor messing up, using that as a reason that you mess up. what the pastor do or don't do, is or ain't doing, ain't none of your business. And that has absolutely nothing to do with your walk. Amen. And so we look for reasons to be wrong. You know. We look for reasons not to come to church. You know, my neighbor three floors down has COVID. So I ain't gonna come today because I might infect somebody, though I've not even had a COVID test, though I don't even talk to the neighbor that's three floors down. I just heard somebody say that somebody said that somebody said they got COVID, and on the strength of that, we ain't gonna go to church today because we don't wanna endanger the flock. Don't stop you from going to Walmart. Don't stop you to going to Old Charlie's. But when it comes to God, now you're overly spiritual and don't want to infect his people, not understanding that you've already been infected by the enemy to even have a mindset such as. Amen? I want you to understand that the demonic influence knows for a fact that the enemy knows for a fact that this demonic influence will hold. Because you ever been caught up in something and it holds you up? You're supposed to be on the next level, but you can't because you're still dealing at this level with this level's madness. And now two levels have passed you by, come and passed you by. But because you are caught up in sin, you can't operate in those next levels that you're supposed to operate in. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be real with you. I have been in a place where I have seen levels leave me and pass me by because I was too entangled in things that I ought not have been entangled in and could not move forward in the purpose and destiny that those next levels that passed me by would have presented. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here today? And you got to stop just thinking that you can get back, you can catch that level, because you don't get to catch that level. You understand that? That's going to always be something that you missed. And you might catch some more levels that put you in places of superiority or into a next level realm. But baby, those two that you missed, they was critical to the level that you are operating in at that moment. Every level has to be experienced because every level has a teaching for you for the next level to come. Do y'all hear me in here today? And this isn't just for pastors. This is for members. This is for people that don't even sweep the corridor or the vegetable. This is for everybody in the building. And I've wondered how many levels have you just let pass you by because you was caught up in some things that you ought not have been caught up in. God ain't failed you. God ain't late. God is not, he's not holding back. No. You have failed you. You have let you down. You have held you back. It has nothing to do with God, the pastor, or even the praise team. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do and everything to do with your decision making. Amen? Lord, have mercy. So you've got to be careful that you connect yourself to people that when you're going to confess your falls, that they can handle your fall the right way. And I'm sad to announce that we don't have enough people, Lord have mercy, that will handle our falls the right way. And as a consequence, we walk around feeling dirty and less than and powerless, which usually causes us to plummet deeper into that sin and closer to being exposed. And most important, our credibility is hit. When I was handcuffed to issues, you know, the Lord said, you're missing the problem. You're missing the point. You're missing the biggest part of the problem of being handcuffed to something that you ought not be handcuffed to. And I said, Lord, what was it? He said, your credibility. If people find out where you are, I wouldn't be able to use you anymore because you know how people are. They're, you know, you're supposed to be perfect in their thought process. And so if your credibility takes a hit, you become of no use in most people's eyes. Be careful about your not being able to witness because of what you won't let go of. Oh, God. Be careful about that. Be careful about losing the effectiveness of your witness because what you refuse to let go of. Because, see, here's the first person that's going, you're going to lose credibility with when exposed. Your kids. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that scary? That because you can't let go, or you won't let go, or you won't take the steps to let go of what's had you demonically, when found out, the first person you can forget about ever listening to you again, or at least for a while, is your children. And if they do listen to you, it's because you have subconsciously trained them to take advice from those which are ungodly. Remember Psalms 1, verse 1, do not accept, what does it say, blesses a man that seeks not the counsel of the ungodly. What is it, oh God, help me in here. Isn't it a scary thing to think that your children cannot ask you anything because they have read Psalms 1, verse 1, and they have realized that you are the ungodly, and as much as I love you, and you know you, and I know you love me, I can't take your advice because you ain't got enough discipline in your own life to try to tell me about discipline for mine. You don't want to lose credibility with your children, because when you lose credibility with your children, the world gains credibility with your children. Because if I, you know, why should I listen to you? And you just like the world. So I'm gonna listen to my best friend. I'm gonna listen to the person down the street. I'm gonna listen to the drug dealer in the alley. I'm gonna listen to you. Understand what I'm saying to you? We've got to protect our credibility. People have got to understand that from the moment you mouth those words, as the scripture commands, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you really meant it from the moment on, from that moment on, you are under demonic radar. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if your lifestyle begins to gain the power of your confession, did you catch that? If your lifestyle begins to gain the power of your confession, there will be now, and hear me good, there will be a demonic hit placed on your life. So in other words, if you really begin to walk this walk for real after you get saved and you're serious about this walk, I need you to be warned that there will be a demonic hit placed on your life. Things will begin to happen to you that makes absolutely no sense. People will be taken away from you. I mean, it is real out here. And since you have taken on God, you're going to have to rest in God to make it through what you're supposed to be doing for God. Lord, have mercy. There's been a hit placed on your life if you're for real about this thing. Now, let me clarify what I mean when I say if your lifestyle begins to gain the power of your confession. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see that up there? Amen. So get this, that if you confess that Jesus is now your Lord, he is your master, he is your everything, people of God, when you confess that, you just open yourself up to a piece of power. Lord, have mercy. You just open yourself up to a piece of power. And then when you finish saying, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, you just struck gold. No, baby, let me tell you, let me back that thing up. You've just struck something that's more valuable than gold. And the moment that you make that confession, it is on. See, there is a power in saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. I want you to hear that today. There is a power in saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. And I want you to understand, there is even an added amount of power when you say that Jesus, you are my Lord, and you mean it. You mean it. Let me see that, please. Thank you.
So we have to understand that there is a realness to this thing. The reason that confession is powerful is because you have made a decision to no longer be double-minded. You know, one way this moment, another way the next. Christy, I keep on forgetting you in this poem, don't I? I got you after church, amen. And so get this, when you say and truly make the decision that Jesus is your Lord, what you are saying is, I will no longer follow the world and its ever-changing ways, because from this day on, I will follow the God who is the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. People of God, you need to know that there is power in not being wishy-washy. Yeah. There's a power in not being wishy-washy. Why? Because the moment that you decide that things are going to be what they're supposed to be, everything around you has to be what it's supposed to be, or you will get rid of it. And so what happens is that it just automatic spring spiritual cleaning begins to happen in your life. People, when you stop being wishy-washy about the things of God, people that you care about, watch this. I'm gonna say this, and this is deep, because get this, when people that you care about see that you're no longer wishy-washy about the word, they have to make decisions in their life about how they're going to be with you. And the part of this, watch this, I'm trying to hurry this thing up. And the thing about this is that when they have to make choices about how they are going to operate in your life, one of those, the main choice they have to make is, am I going to stay in their life? Because if they're going to be saved and saved for real, I don't necessarily know that that fits what I'm trying to do at this time in my life. And the last thing that you need to be doing is to be trying to live saved and saved for real and have people that you have connected yourself to, that you have closened yourself to, and they not be on the same level, because any chance that they get, they are going to mess that up. They won't mean to, they won't set that, sometimes they don't set out to, but just on the strength that, you know, you're saved for real and I'm not, I don't know if I want to be involved with you. And then see, you're gonna have to realize if you're really saved or not, because when they decide that they're not gonna stay with you, and I don't want you to think I'm talking about Pookie, James, and Jaleesa and all of them. I'm talking about your mama might not stay with you, because you saved for real. Watch this, and your mama might go to church. She might go to church, but not stay connected to you, because your walk is for real. And guess what? If that happens to be the deal, you got to let them go. What did Jesus say? Did you think that I come to bring peace? I didn't come to bring no peace. I came with a sword, and I come to cut you away from everything that is trying to keep you away from me. This thing is for real. And the problem that we're having in a 21st century church, and let me just talk about the Unity Worship Center. The problem that we have in the Unity Worship Center is that God is really not as important as he should be in most of our lives. People take things and people over God. You understand what I'm saying to you? If they offer you overtime on Sunday and Christmas is right around the corner, you should depend on God, not overtime. If they offer you overtime on your job for Sunday and the light bill was higher than what you thought it was going to be, and you really don't know how you're going to play it out, you should still depend on God, and you don't make it to work on that Sunday. Do you understand that your children are not as important as your relationship with God? And it's real easy to say, amen, I know that's right, until your children are put in a position, until you are put in a position to love God more than your children. See, let's just be real. How many of us would fail that test? That I would have to show, if I had to show that I love God more than I love my child, how many of us would fail that test? Just be honest, because God knows anyway. Please, we got something going on with this mic today. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that something? And guess what? And if you did that, it disqualifies you from heaven. So for those of us that raised our hand, you better get yourself right and in the right position with this thing. Today, if you had to choose God over your child, you chose God, because God says, those that love their mother and father more than me, they are not worthy of me. That's the Bible. And I get it. These are tough choices, aren't they? But here's the thing, because you love your child, right? But have you ever stopped to think God gave you that child that you love? Come on, come So you should actually love God more because of all the joy, and it ain't always joy with these kids, but the joy that they do give you, you got it because God gave it to you. Now, how are you going to love the creature more than the creator? See, today I want you to leave here saying, you know what? It's time for me to get my life right with God. Because when you begin to say, God, I love you more than anything, and it is actually the truth, you are actually really telling you the truth, then guess what? Making a decision for God over your child ain't even hard. You get to a place where that's not hard anymore. But the reason that we can't make choices over, you know, listen, the Bible says that don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? You understand what I'm saying to you? So let me show you how deep it is. I pastored the church. I've pastored two churches at one time, probably going to set a couple more churches in motion before I die. And I want you to understand something, that I read the scriptures, I understand the scriptures, but I got diabetes and I eat Oreos. No, I'm not laughing at all. I got diabetes. I might miss my pills, but I'm not going to miss those Oreos. So I'm in sin. Why? Because I house the Lord on the inside of me. And I am bringing sickness. I am welcoming sickness into my body. And we understand that God can't share space with sin. So every time that I decide that I'm going to put something in my body, because God ain't never sick, God got to bounce. I love you, but I'm not with this. I love you, but I'm not connected to sickness. And you're sick because you continuously do things with your body that you shouldn't do. And I'm just talking about Oreos. Let's talk about when he said, are you going to bring your body? Are you going to bring the living God? Are you going to allow your body to take place with a prostitute? God forbid. I'm just talking about Oreos. We ain't even got to get deep, do we? See? This is a real thing. We have a problem because people, you know, hey, man. And so you know what? And I had this conversation with my wife yesterday. I said, I got to grow up. I got to stop doing things, eating things, drinking things, I love the juicy juice and all of that, you know, the lemonade and all. But the problem is it's going to take my limbs one day. And this is how cold it was. God brought somebody into the church to show me, hey, this will happen if you keep tripping. And I didn't pay that no attention. So God took my best friend, my cousin, and then he lost his leg. And to say, and I'm not saying he lost it on the strength of me, but I got access to the example of what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do with God's body, because you are not your own. You are not your own. My man, Pastor Simpson, when I said, he said, hey, man, you don't look good. And I said, man, my A1C was 12.1. And I'm going to tell you something, he's one of the most spiritual cats I know. And he said some things in a way that checked his pastor good. And you know how I was when I get on y'all, I say, now, you know, I love you. He didn't even say love you. He hung up on me because he was so upset with me. That's love. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's somebody to care about you. That I don't care about your title. I'm going to tell you that you need to get it together. You see? I see this day. I'm just all over the place. Okay. Now get this. You need to understand that there's power in not being wishy-washy and sometimey and all over the place. You got to make up in your mind, I'm no longer going to be all over the place, because when I act that way, I've lost all control of my life. Anybody ever have a situation hit you and you just blow your mind and you just lose it? Guess what? You lose it. Did you get it? You lose it. What do you lose? Control. What happens when you lose control? When you lose control, you give control over. You actually don't lose control. You give control over to whatever it is that's got you all crazy. When you give it over to whatever it is that's got you all crazy, that means that you didn't give it over to God. Now you have entered a satanic realm. Oh, God. Because now what you have actually done is given the enemy the power, because you've just become faithless. You have got to guard yourself against your crazy ways when things don't operate the way you need them to. You got to, when things get crazy, the first thing you need to say is, Stephen, You're not going to lose it because things have been crazy before and you're still here. But the moment you begin to say things like, I'm losing my mind, or the moment you begin to think, I don't even care no more, or the moment you begin to say, you know what, I'm just done with it. Guess what? You are done with it, and now somebody's going to do it for and to you. This is real. Did you know, do you know that most of you put the hit on yourself when you don't stay faithful to knowing God is going to do what he's always done for you before? And some of you are sitting here today and go, well, when do I stop getting hit? And when do things start working in my favor? And when do I don't have to cry? And when I don't have to go off, and I don't have to work another, and I don't have to go sell this, and I don't have to go, you understand what I'm saying? You know when you get to do that? When you consistently believe. And I want you to understand that sometimes things wreck my house and wreck my life so hard that I lose control. And for that moment that I've lost control, the enemy, because he works fast, he gets in there, I got you. Why, I got you. Because watch this, I know your destiny. I know you're going to get your head together. I know you're going to get back where you're supposed to be. I know your faith is going to be restored. But why, I got you. Anybody still dealing with some of the why he got you? Some of the why he had you, this happened and that happened and that happened, and then finally you got to yourself and it's good, you're back to yourself, you know that God is able, God's a keeper, God's going to keep you. But the problem is some things happen in that time frame of I'm losing it to I got it back together. And because you got it back together, what happened in that time frame don't go away. That's something else you got to deal with. Lord, I'm talking to you today. And that's what we do. We do this to ourselves, you know. All right, so, see, the very people that want you to get saved, those friends and family, are still out there in the cold, in that cold world, and it's going to take a power to bring them in out of Satan's grip. The very people that you want to see get saved, those are the people, those are your friends and family that's out there in that cold world, and it's going to take a power to bring them in out of Satan's grip, and your most powerful tool will be consistency. What do you mean, Pastor? Consistency. Consistency in your walk. That's how you get them saved.
Oh, no. You know, my brother, he just went. I'm just so worried about it. And my cousin, and she.
Walk consistently. Walk consistently. Because when you open your mouth to tell them how to come out of this coldness, how to get away, you know, that you need to get out of this craziness, when the one thing they can say is, ain't nothing I can say to you because you're consistent. But if you all over the place, you upside down, sometimes you come to church, sometimes you don't, ain't nobody listening to you, and they shouldn't. Because you don't even believe what you're trying to teach me. If you believe what you said, I hear you, Holy Spirit, but you know we got stuff to do. Listen. Have you ever, this is real, have you ever tried to tell somebody what they should do when you wasn't doing what you should do? And they tell you straight up, or they give you a look like, how you going to talk about the speck in my eye when you got a whole moat in your eye, you got a whole branch in your eye, and you talking about, you understand what I'm saying to you? How you going to tell me? And here's the thing, you might not even be out of order to the point of where they are, but the fact that you're out of order and you've been front and saved for so long, they looking at you like, don't come talking to me and you can't get yourself together. Oh, so you holy, you caught me going through it while you being, this is your holy week, and you caught me going through it, and now you want to try to tell me what I need to be doing. I want you to understand, people of God, they'll sit back and say, you know what, that was deep. That, you know what, I bless God for you and all that. And they'll call you and wake you up in the morning and then send you a text and say, thank you for last night, or thank you for that speech, and thank you. And do you know that is Satan using them to make you feel comfortable with being jacked up but still trying to talk to people about being saved? Satan is playing your people. If you know you've been foul, if you know, and you have, and I get this all the time, and Pastor, and I ain't even living right, but I'll be telling people this, and I'll be telling, that's Satan. Why? No, God can use anybody. No, God can use anybody, but don't forget, Satan can too. And what he'd rather use more than anybody is the so-called Christian. Satan used that person to text you and say, thank you for what you said to me last night, and you know you out of order, that's Satan. Because Satan is saying, stay, see, you can help and still be foul. You can help and still not really be saved. You can help and still have secrets. You can help and not be delivered. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. I don't even know why I'm saying this. If, oh God, let me tell you something. Anything that you are doing that you know is wrong, you are in sin and you should stop. I don't care what it is. If you are doing something that is against the word of God, you are in sin, you are not saved, and you should stop. And if you're doing it more than once, it's not every now and then, it's called a habit. You should stop. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You're never going to get the breakthrough. And I want to say this, if you're in sin and you feel like you're being blessed, baby, all you're doing is the best that you can do. That's all you got. You got the best that you could do. So if you think this is so dope, what you done received on the strength of God while you still in sin, guess what? It would wonder what it would look like when if it was no sin involved and it really was God blessing you instead of the hands of your work. And let me tell you something. Satan will send you something that looks like a blessing because Satan can't bless nobody. I'm so sick of preachers saying, Satan can bless you too. You need to sit down, sir. You don't know what you're talking about. You never should pastor again. Satan cannot bless you, but he can show you things that look like a blessing. Why do they look like a blessing? It's because that's where you are in your flesh. Because you desire it. Remember when we talked about desire? Desire is usually connected to your flesh when hope is connected to the Lord. Most of you don't hope as much as you desire. Oh, God. Oh, God. You ain't gonna tell me I ain't blessed. I just got a new car. But you ain't saved. You ain't blessed. You fooled. That's why in 4 months you'll be talking about that car payment. That's why in 4 months you'll be talking about how can I get out of this because it really wasn't worth what I thought it was worth when I was out of my right mind. Oh, God, I'm talking to you today. Get this, your every day, all day. Somebody say that. Every day, all day. Get that. Your every day, all day keeping the word of God, it will be that you are serious and constantly about the things of God. That's what the lost need to watch. You see, and they watching that. They watching out for that when you ain't looking, when you don't even know they're watching. You know how you get into. You know how when you're ready to go talk to somebody. Even, oh God, I'm gonna be real. Cause 9 out of 10 of us ain't saved in here. Not the way the word says. So you walk in here and you ready to go have a conversation because somebody done told you, come over here and talk to your nephew, come over here and talk to your niece, and you ain't right, but now you're holy. Probably walk in with a little Bible. I just want to show you a few scriptures. Don't remember what the Lord said because you ain't listening to what the Lord said. Holy so people can see it. People need to see you be consistent because consistency in God breeds a peace that the whole world can see. Did I say that again? Can I say that again? Consistency in God breeds a peace that the whole world can see. And after having been out there in addiction and alcoholism and fornication and lying spirits and having the heart broken over and over again, after having the choice of the way they are going to live life, turn on them again and again and again, what people begin to desire or what people begin to hope for is your peace. They see they going through all this hell. They look over at you and they begin to hope for your peace. People don't want your coat. They like your shoes. They don't want them. People like your car, but they don't need it. They need what? If you rocking in it for real, they need your peace. Amen. Have you ever been crazy in your mind due to your rebellion towards God? Have you ever been all over the place, not knowing which way to turn, all because you made a choice to live with God, the God of hell rather than the God of heaven?
Yeah, we was doing so good, and then we moved in together, and we loved each other. And now since I've been living with you, ain't nothing right.
It ain't going to be right either because it ain't of God. And you knew that before you did it. Some of you, when you move from one place to the next, I don't know why the Lord is telling me to say this because I don't even know if anybody's moved from one place to the next. But some of you, when you move from one place to the next, you were supposed to say, Oh, I forgot to tell you, you're not going with me. Well, how am I going to pay my bills by myself? He says, I have been young and I am now old, and two things I have never seen is the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You either going to eat this book, live by this book, apply this book, or you not. And if you don't apply this book and if you don't read this book, you not. Because you ain't got the strength to do it without the word. If you ever been Lord have mercy. Have you ever been in sin so deep that it was threatening to take your life physically? If you have ever been, have you ever been out there so crazy that there was nothing no one could say to change you? Then you know about a need of peace. A peace in the midst of the madness guarantees that everything is going to be all right. A peace that while the world is crashing down around you and on you allows you to sleep at night because you know God is there. You see, how you saved and crazy? How you saved and spooked? How you saved and scared? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person. It just means that you have not totally chosen to get into God and park there. I ain't moving nowhere. I'm in him. That's it. The word says, the word says, the word says, the word says, the word says. And when people talking to you, the word says, the word says, the word says, the word says, the word. And people trying to get tempt you, the word says, the word says, the word says, the word says. Your flesh up talking to you late in the night. The word says, the word says, the word says, the word says. And get this, and you get to a point to where you have peace in making godly decisions. Ain't it a trip that most people don't have peace in making godly decisions because that means they can't get their fleshly desire? Oh, somebody write that down. Can't have peace in making a godly decision because your flesh has to be denied. I know I need to leave it alone. I know I need to leave him alone. I need to, but then, so you leave him alone for 2-3 days, and then you see Sherelle talking to him. You don't know what Sherelle talking to him about. You just looking at Sherelle. You like, ooh, she's a nice looking woman. Ooh, I know he like that. And the next thing you know, you ready to throw away your virtue. You're ready to throw away your confession. You're ready to throw away your promise. You're ready to throw away your salvation. You're ready to throw away heaven and begin to operate in hell just so you can keep this. And you were strong till you seen this with somebody talking to Sherelle. Huh? You was ready to leave it alone as long as she wasn't talking to nobody. I'm going to stop sinning. That's all right. It's done. I ain't no more sex between us. It's over with. And then Kevin's over here talking about painting a house. And you think Kevin's over here talking about painting a house. And now you want her back. And I sin with you. I sin with you. Just don't do it with nobody else. You know what your problem is? You have been conditioned and you are addicted to the sin in which you and whoever does. And that's why you can't see it with nobody else. You don't even love them, but you know how they do it, so you don't want them to do it with nobody else because that just will mess your head up, won't it? I'm talking in here, ain't I? That's why I can't go. I'm gonna go somewhere. But this is why I gotta be careful about where I go, because see, when I talk like this, everybody can't take people who've been saved for 40 years will get up and walk out on the truth, because you ain't supposed to say stuff like this. Do you know that the people that sashay in and out of this building, the reason that they sashay in and out of this building is because they can't take what I'm saying. I ain't wrong. I ain't foul. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you the truth, and you got to go home and deal with that. And some of you going to go home to your man today and be like, Lord, I done drove into the... Soon you in the driveway, you in sin. Frying chicken, doing whatever you can do. I just ain't going to do it with him. I just ain't going to do it with him. And I'm getting ready to tell him that you're going to have to move because I'm not going to hell for you. And you know, I want this to be understood. If you are in sin and you purposely choose to be in sin, you are going to hell when you die if you don't change your ways. And you feel the torture. In hell, you feel it all, and no matter and you can be and watch this. You can get saved in your mind in hell, and Jesus still can't come get you, because that make him a liar. So don't think I just get to hell and then get it together. No, you get to hell, you getting in hell, and you can do 1,000 years in hell and be like, it's got to be over. I've been put in 1,000 years, and he says, no, baby, hell is eternity. There's no time frame. You don't get shock probation. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't get the ankle monitor. You are in hell for eternity. You understand? And here's the thing. So let me tell you why you're here. And you ain't doing right. Cause you want to. And so you know why you're failing though? Cause you got women warring women on Thursday nights, and you won't show up to that. But you'll talk on the fence, you're fearing to your girlfriend, you'll talk on the phone to your girlfriend about how jacked up your situation is, and stay weak, because she weak too. Because if she was strong, she'd be busy. If she was strong, she'd be too busy doing something to be talking to you about what you want to talk about every day. You ever notice people that when they're in bad relationships, because they're in sinful relationships, they always want to talk to somebody about it? Only advice I want you to do is to tell me how to keep him happy. And I'm saying it from a female's perspective, because I'm just going to be real. Y'all the weakest species in the church. Got the strongest cause. Got the most work to do for God. And y'all the weakest species in the church. And can be on fire for God, and meet somebody that your flesh desire, and they show you some serious attention, and you will dump on the church. You know how I know? Because you do it, and you've done it, and I know. Will bounce on the church. Weakest species. And you wonder, but you wonder why you have to be in church, why you want to help, why you want to, because God has called you to that. So you here to stop being weak, but you're going to have to take the medicine. Oh, Lord. Another reason this confession is so powerful is because as you say the words, and I believe God raised him from the dead. Let me tell you something. If you can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you can believe that, then see, you can believe anything else the word has to say. If you can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you can believe anything else that the word can say. And if you can believe anything else that the word can say, you can stop sinning. You don't have to sin. Repeat after me. I don't have to sin. I want you to say it again. I don't have to sin. Now repeat after me, and I work alone. I said repeat, not say with me. See just how? Now watch this. That's called rebellion. That's called, you understand what I'm saying? And Satan go, I'm just say it with him. Say it with him. No, don't. You do what you was asked to do, not what you feel you should do, not what makes you look good. And this is my little brother, so I can talk to him, so he knows I love him. So here's the deal. Now repeat after me now. I sin because I want to. See, because the reality is you don't have to. You do it because you want to. So repeat after me, and I want you to woosa in this moment when you say this, okay? So when I sin, I understand I am choosing Satan over God. Now think about it. Say it again to yourself. The same God that I prayed to ask to help me out of all my troubles. Do you know that some of us are so crazy and have gotten so demonically offbeat that we actually ask God to bless our sinful relationships? Lord, just make him act right. When you should be saying something like, Lord, make him give me his last name. Then I have a right to come pray to you for anything. But I'm you are asking God to bless your illegal activity. We done all done it. We done all done it. Well, maybe not all of us. Nah, we done all done it. 2 Corinthians, we're almost done. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, for the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So we see that God has not forgotten all of the promises that he has made to us, or to his people from the book of Genesis to now. And some of you might be saying, well, I haven't seen his promises unfold in my life. And for those who say that, I would say go back and read the verse again. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Excuse me. And now the question I want to ask is, are you in him? The phrase in him are mentioned two times in this verse. For the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. And the way that we access those promises are first by being in him. Now, there's something about that phrase in him that's so important that God made it a requirement of being saved. Remember in 1 Corinthians 5 and 17, when the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Pretty deep, huh? See, you were just looking at in him, and it was just in him. It's in him. Because that's how most of us read the Bible anyway, all lazy. All sloppy. You know you can read the Bible sloppy. That's when, you know how you know you're reading the Bible sloppy? Is when you're reading the Bible, but you're watching your TV show. You're reading the Bible, but you're checking your phone. You're reading the Bible, but you're talking to your children. You're sloppy readers. Need a bib. So in him just meant in him until you really begin to surface that thing and put that thing where it really needed to be. And you say, hold on, in him. And in him is so important that he predicated, he made it contingent upon in him that you saved. And the way that we access the promises are first by being in him. So get this. Did you see that? If anyone is in Christ, is in. If you are in him, you are a new creation. Why are you new? Because you are now in Christ. And once you are in Christ, everything is new because you now have a new what? A new mindset. People of God, listen to me, and listen to me good. You cannot, it is impossible to have a new mindset with old tendencies. You are lying. And every time that you lie, guess what? You're in sin. Woo. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You cannot, I want you to get this. Mindsets dictate mobility. Your mind dictates what you're going to do. Mindsets dictate mechanisms. They dictate how you operate. Mindsets dictate the level of mayhem and madness in your life. So if you got a whole lot of crazy going on, it's because your mind is jacked up. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm going to say it again for the third time. You can never have a new mindset with old tendencies. Now I'm gonna say this, and I know, you know, it was the Lord that put this on my heart when I wrote this. The church has some purpose, and one of its main purposes to see the lost get saved. So guess what? The only way that you can see the lost get saved is you finally get saved for real yourself. That's the only way. Why am I called to this ministry? Because there is something greater in you than what happened to you when you were young. There's something that happened to you that was greater than you when you was molested. There is something in you that is greater than when you was raped. There's something that is greater in you and that's greater than what happened when you started getting high. You see, and so the reason that you're drawn to this ministry is because that something that's greater in you is connected to him. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I know it's going to say insanely arrogant, but I promise you I'm speaking in humility here. But I know who I am, and I know who I am in him, and I know what I'm supposed to do in him. And the reason why you come here is because you figured out these other cats is playing. The majority of these preachers and pastors are playing. And let me tell you something. Let me go ahead and say, because I was a pastor that was playing at one time, and I know playing when I see playing. It's profitable to play, though. And if profit is what you're after, then you'll keep playing. You ain't got no mindset. The Bible says you're past caring. You're brutal. You're beyond feeling. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I just blessed the Lord that it came to a point in my life where I was like, if I lose this, there is nothing else I can do because this is all I am. And me and what I am was more important than what I was on. Some of you should write that down. What I am, what what I really am by God is more important than what I'm on. More important than what I've been on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus. Jesus. All right, we're ready to finish up. We're going to take 3 minutes and finish up. Watch this. We are supposed to be here to get the lost saved, but that is going to take a saved church. That is going to take a church where its members, and especially its leadership, has to be done with every area of sin, no secret mess, no hidden skeletons, done with sin. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I want to say this to you because I stood in my closet of hidden secrets. You know how when you begin to look at into your closet and you begin to throw away, this don't fit no more. I don't even like this color no more. This is, should have never wear that. You know what, such and such gave me this and I can't stand them, so I bet I won't wear it. You have to stand in your closet of secrets and go, this don't fit me no more. This ain't, that's too revealing. This keeps me caught up. You got to stand in your closet of secrets and throw your secrets out. And be careful. Don't come holler at your boy about what you need deliverance from. Holler at God, then come holler at your boy, because you can't go tell everybody what you need deliverance from, because then you'll need bond. Because people are going to tell your business. People are going to tell your business. So you trust who you're supposed to. And I'm sorry that we messed up on behalf of myself and all pastors all over the world. I am sorry that we messed up to the point to where we made you feel like you could not come and talk to us because we were so jacked up ourselves. But in this house, your pastor is reformed. In this house, your pastor is redeemed. In this house, your pastor can be trusted. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I can, because I have the power of the living God radiating through my body on a continual basis. I can help you through whatever it is that you're going through. I can't say, and it don't mean that I'm Superman. And I'm just telling you that I'm going to pump you with so, you know, when you get sick, Bree, they pump you full of antibiotics. And when they say you got an infection, and I stayed in the hospital, what was that, 11 days, because I had an infection in my body, and all they've done, I had three, and see, you got to be careful, because a little leaven, oh God, a little leaven the whole lump. In other words, a little sin make a whole lot of sin, and it blow everything up, and you got to be careful, because what happens is infection make infection. When I went to the hospital, Miriam said, you're going out of here, and they took me to the hospital, and they took a little blood, came back, and they immediately took me upstairs, because one little thing, I couldn't move. You doing this, Holy Ghost? I couldn't move, because sin, you ever been in sin where you can't move, and it's like infection, and I couldn't move. She said, you're going out of here today, and she had to get people to help me, get me in the car, took me to the hospital, and then they said, you got to be admitted. Some of you need to be admitted. Spiritually admitted. Some of you need to come in. Some of you need to say, you know what? I'm just going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to go ahead and admit myself, because I know I'm jacked up. You understand what I'm saying to you? And because I need some antibiotics. I need this infection to be, you understand? And the word of God is the antibiotics to the infection of sin that has been holding us down for so long. You understand? You understand? Kim, start tagging them. Start tagging them. They probably won't. They probably ain't going to listen. But start tagging them. Tag all of them. None of them can say, we didn't know. Get this. You're saved. Truth being told, you're saved when the reason you decide where your home church is because you see these three things, okay? I skipped a whole lot of sermon because we got some things to talk about. One of the ways you know you're saved is when you pick the proper home church. Because unsaved people just go to church. Unsaved people get excited and, whoa, he showed it who, and run on down here. Unsaved people go, I'm gonna figure out a way to sleep with him. And they joined the church. Yeah. That's why my daughters are rude now. You see what I'm saying to you? So just in case dad gets weak, we not. And we check everything we see coming at him. You see? And I just said, yes, daughters, go ahead. Go ahead. You think it's a game? I've had 4 inboxes this week that told me they can't continue to come to this church because they lust for me when they see me down here preaching. Now let me tell you why that's deep. Let me tell you why that's deep. Because I bless God for the truth. Now, you want them to be that honest. But 2 of them were saying it because I need some help with this, because I know the ministry can help me. But the other 2 were saying it to see what I was going to say in return. Oh, Lord have mercy. So I had to do this. Look what they said. Where Tyrone at? Where Tyrone? Tyrone. Huh? Sitting up in the office. Dog, look at this. You know why? Because now I'm accountable. Somebody know. You understand what I'm saying to you? My daughters are pit bulls. I can't tell them. I can't trust they're gonna act right when they see how they gonna pull up on them. But you need to know this. See this? See, because 2 said it because they won't help. And we're going to get them that help. They're going to be members of this church, and it's going to be okay. Because that just happens sometimes. You understand? I mean, but the other 2, they were sent from Satan, and they wanted to see, Ben, don't worry about that, because the language gets different. You ain't baby girl no more. Now you become baby. Don't worry about that, baby. I got you. I ain't going to let that go down. You better run. Better run, because you might get me, but I'm gonna take you through it. If Satan allowed, if my structure isn't set up to where I'm protected, I'm gonna take you through it. Yeah, see, but that ain't what a preacher's supposed to say, is it? That's why y'all choose pretty church, because all the lies that come with it. Take that makeup off at church, see if it's still pretty. So listen, here's what you need to be looking for. The word of God is being preached and taught. That's the same requisite. The word, why would you join a church where the word of God isn't being preached and taught? Now, here's a problem for many of you, and even the ones that aren't here today. Some of you could leave here and go somewhere else and be totally uncomfortable. 90% of the churches that you're going to go to in Lexington, you're going to be uncomfortable. Because if they ain't pimping for sex, they pimping for money. But pimping is going down. You understand what I'm saying to you? 90% of the churches. Second, how you know that you're choosing the right church? You know that your kids are learning the word of God. Now, don't tell me that they're not learning the word of God, but you barely come, so that ain't on us. 3, the ministry is challenging you to be saved for real. If you're not being challenged to be saved for real, you need to run. Even if you stop being challenged to be saved for real here, get up out of here. Something has went wrong in headquarters. Amen. Amen. You need prayer? Pray when you get home. You need to be saved? Say it. I confess Jesus with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. You're saved. Now we're going to have a meeting. Kim, you got him?